Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16, Text 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yukushmita Vishodhani Maritena Vimashita Niyante Kirada Yasya Tamina Kirajan Jangana. The wind blowing over that deadly lake carried droplets of water to the shore. Simply by coming in contact with that poisonous breeze, all vegetation and creatures on the shore died. Omijana Timarandasya Jnananjana Silakaya Saksir Umbritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Vancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Govardhan. We just celebrated Srila Prabhupada's Tirubhav Mahotsav, his passing away, his disappearance festival. And of course, Vrindavan is the place where Srila Prabhupada passed away. I happened to be at his bedside at the time. I was one of the fortunate people to be in the room by the inconceivable grace of C.C. Radha Shyama Sundar. And it's a fact that the great personality, Maharaj Prakrit, the Bhagavatam's being spoken to him, he's glorious in his birth. An early age, well, from the womb, when Krishna protected the womb of his mother, Uttara, from the Brahmastra, the guided atomic mantra weapon, and he saw Krishna in his womb, and that made such an impression on his consciousness that he sought to fill his consciousness again with the beautiful form of Krishna that made that impression. And he was glorious in his life. There was nothing lacking in his administration as a king. And he was glorious in his death. Krishna appeared to him in the form of a Mahabhagavata devotee and in the form of his message, the message of Krishna, the Bhagavatam, which is non-different than Krishna. hearing the Bhagavatam is not just an intellectual exercise, it's experiential. You're actually experiencing something. When you apply your intelligence and you have an understanding of the meaning, but that meaning, that message is Krishna. And one of the most important items of devotional service is to have that experience of the association of the divine through his recorded message. In a similar way, Srila Prabhupada, of course, his life was so glorious. He was also born in a Vaishnava family. But his death was glorious, and I was there, surrounded by the devotees chanting the holy name of Krishna. And just, I mean, it was actually a remarkable thing. And I guess the test of life is death, because life is meant for death. Life is meant for juncture to a higher destination based on your consciousness. So we cultivate Krishna consciousness so that at the end of life, we've developed our subtle body that it merits a higher body, either spiritual or material, even materially. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam to jam yam te talevaram tam tam e vaiti konte asubhatsad bhava bhavata. Whatever you're thinking, whatever the bhav is, the mood at the time of death, to that destination, you go. So, we saw Prabhupada in such perfect consciousness. There were no tubes in his body. I was just a remarkable thing. And the moment he passed was confirmed, I would say, in a unified way in the hearts of the devotees there. So it's a very important place where Prabhupada passed away. I celebrate Govardhan Puja not in Vrindavan, but in Govardhan. Because Prabhupada passed away in Vrindavan, but he eternally resides in Govardhan. Because that was his express destination at the end of his life. And I was also there in the room where Prabhupada said, I want to go to Govardhan. And it's known psychologically that whatever you have to hide, good or bad, there's less resistance to revealing it at the time of death. It's like Krishna. She is a witch, but in the guise of a beautiful nurse. And she came to kill Krishna with deadly poison on her breast. And when Krishna took her breath and sucked out her life there, and then she saw she was dying, then she revealed her true form. That's revealing bad, but Prabhupada, good. He revealed a little bit about who he was spiritually. But he was in a very bedridden condition. I mean, his bones and his nerves. And he said, I want to go to Govardhan. So in that sense, those of us that reside out here in Govardhan, we have the conception that Prabhupada is residing here in Govardhan at his Bhaktivedanta ashram here. And It was about 100 Prabhupada disciples at the Vrindavan festivals. And I went there last night just to go in Vrindavan to just check a few things. And the amount of bhakti, devotion for Prabhupada was overwhelming. Going into his room, the opulence of those flower decorations, I can't even describe it, what Prabhupada's room looked like. And the place was just buzzing with the glories of Prabhupada, you know, Chinese devotees, Uzbekistan, African. It was just really wonderful. I only stayed for a few hours. I'm glad I'm out here, because once you're there, it's like a human pinball machine. Once you get out there in the complex, you just bounce from one person to another and actually see so many wonderful devotees. But it was also, I'm going on and on, but I know that the devotees who listen to this also like to hear about the flavor of Vrindavan. I mean, a lot of realizations, how wonderful it is. So I get out at the guest house, with a car was going in and going back. Some devotees in Govardhan had to go to a meeting. They have different meetings there at that time. Something about the president of the Govardhan Center here, something about taking sannyas. He has to see the regional meeting of the Indian leaders at this time. So they got me off at the Krishna Balaram guest house. Those of you that know, you know, you go out the gate of that guest house, you turn right, then there's a short left that goes down to the Krishna path, and I make it right for about 50 yards, and then make another right into a cul-de-sac, which is my place. This is my entrance into Vrindavan. It was quite amazing. And it really indicated to me how Vrindavan is just ultimately the spiritual world, and even can't be covered by the urbanization. As I turn that street, and it's basically a quiet street because it's just a short street that connects the road by the temple to the Parikram path. Coming, turning the corner the other side facing me is this absolutely ecstatic kirtan. And obviously the people were, you know, from Central Asia, you know, they had the oriental look. There were old men with gold teeth. A lot of people with just space in between their teeth. You know, they're not the modern type people. You know, there's no question of cosmetics, you know, what they look like and how they are, you know. And there are people with Muslim caps on, old men. It was just such an impression. There was a guy with an accordion, and, you know, they were, you know, kind of Mongolian descent, Muslim-born Vaishnavs. With such simplicity of heart. We're too complicated. I'm talking about myself in America. We're spoiled. These people have such simplicity of heart. And they can therefore just give their heart to God in the holy name with full faith. So when I saw that from the other side, and I wasn't even sure who the group was, I took off my shoes and stood by the side as they were passing with my hands folded to respect. But instead, the kirtan group, instead of going, surrounded me. So I just was abandoned, just joined their wonderful, wonderful kirtan, was abandoned. And they were so appreciative. You don't really know. It's an international thing, but it's actually a Prabhupada disciple, sannyasi. They somehow know who you are, and they have the utmost respect. So I did the kirtan, and then the kirtan stopped. And then these people, they just kept on pouring money on me. He said, you know, what money? 100 rupees, 1,000 rupees. Everyone was coming forward. They have that kind of simple culture. And then I spoke a little bit. Evidently, they're mostly bedeviled in this one. Anyway, then I turned the corner and I met this wonderful devotee, Gopaswami, a god brother. Not a Swami, but his name is Gopaswami. And he's a doctor in France. But he lives in a mud hut, a cob house, a small cob house. He showed me his pictures, the guest house for me, and another small, right on the outskirts of New Mayapur, just chanting the holy name. And then in the weekend, for 2 days, he goes. And he's the most blissful person. Then I turned into my place, and into doing this while he's giving program the roof, and people are just pouring into that culture back. And anyway, that's the Prabhupada's disappearance day. It was absolutely wonderful because there was actually so much bhava or devotion or love for Prabhupada. And a lot, and there were 100 Prabhupada disciples. We had about 10, but the 10 we had, Guru Jan Prabhu spoke first, and he showed a slideshow. We had a little small temple room on the roof. He showed a slideshow called This Is Mind-Blowing about Prabhupada. It's amazing. But and then Jayadvaita Swami just spoke, and then Satchinandana Swami came from his Kuchi or someplace in Dobranan. And he shared his realizations. And I spoke. And it was Vaisheshika Prabhu, Abhiram, who was with Prabhupada, assisting at the end. There were just so many. And so many deep. But what it created, again, beyond the intellectual, you know, usually, you know, you look at your watch, you're waiting for prasadam, and you know, it went on for, you know, about, I guess, a good three and a half hours. But it was just a ocean of devotion. And you could see how you're satisfied when there's a unified assembly sharing a particular mood of devotion and love, and how just soothing that is. It was just wonderful. And but I think of all the offerings, and they were a variety of ways of appreciating Prabhupada, I think the nicest were by two god sisters, Nakula, who's the wife of Vaisheshika Prabhu, and Sitala, the wife of Harisari Prabhu. And they spoke with the depth of their separation after 33 years after Prabhupada's passing away. I mean, it's such depth of emotion and so eloquent, because I think that devotion, when something comes from devotion, it becomes perfect. And devotion has a way of being the teacher. They spoke eloquently, but with such humility and feelings of heart, that they're still suffering from the separation of Prabhupada. So many years. And with such love and devotion that I would say, as a gender, I was humbled as a man, because we all spoke eloquently, but we couldn't express the depth of that separation, which is I spoke to Mother Srimati, who's very elevated, and I was telling her, I think the lady stole the show. And she just said to me, yes, you know, men have to get entangled in hierarchical things, sannyasis and all these things, and it should make them hard-hearted. And she said that the women are not burdened with that. That's what she said. And you could see it. And it was just beautiful. And, wow. I was sitting there, and it was just a relish. And, you know, Prabhupada's glories, it's just such an amazing thing when you see. Yeah, that Sitala told the story of 1982. Somehow they was on some prakram, and they met this old sadhu who was in an isolated place, and when he saw Western devotees, he was just shocked that these people came Vaishnavas. And then he began to cry. He said, "We've been waiting 500 years," because that's after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared. "We're waiting 500 years and trying to understand Lord Chaitanya's statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Piti Viti Yati Acharati Nagaradi Dham, that the holy name of Krishna would be spread in every town and village." And he said, in Vaishnavas, he said, "We even began to have doubts." He said, and he kept on saying to them, "Who has done this? Who has done this?" And then they explained Prabhupada, and he said, "I have to meet this person. I have," and I said that he passed away. And that the sadhu broke down in tears. "I'm so unfortunate. I'm so unfortunate." Anyway, it was quite a day, and then there were some guests that I had there. One man came from New York. Wonderful man. He's an architect in New York, offices in Berlin. He has a big yoga studio called The Own Factory. And he has a beard, a shaved head, and a sikha. He's not necessarily a Vaishnava. He's been to India many, many times. Very, very nice person. So he was there, and then there was one lady from Canada, and lives in the Gurukul in Bombay of Hari Prasad Charasi, I forgot the last name, who's the most famous Bansari flute player in the world. And then they were there with Jonathan, you may have seen, she does Kirtan in America, and Sister Tosi. So they were just leaving. I had taken them to Govardhan before. They wanted to come back to Radhakund. So I took them to Radhakund right after the feast. And, you know, we did kirtan into Radhakund. And then we got to the Radha Gopinath Mandir right by the water. And these two sisters just started to lead kirtan with an incredible devotion and strength and projection. And that lady began to play flute. The Babaji's, the renunciates, and the pilgrims there, they start to crowd around. And then in the middle of the kirtan, it's crescendo, we hear this gong beating, and then Mahanidhi Swami comes with his kirtan group, and we join. And then I just saw this, what a spiritual culture around Radhakund in the month of Kartik. Because at the end, all these groups of kirtan, ecstatically, or one, you know, go around the kund. So it was quite a revelation to me, even after living here in Vrindavan so many years, the level of devotion that can manifest in this place, unparalleled. So, and now I'm trying to get back to my simple life, but once Prabhupada's disappearance and Govardhan Puja comes, it's a little bit difficult because so many people are coming, but I also try to extend myself also. So now we'll get to this pastime, and remember, it's kind of Boyaras. Boyaras means the mood or experience of fear that's an expression of deep love. A mother, a child's in danger. She feels fear, but the fear is this, for her child, is a transformation of motherly love, which is experienced not directly but indirectly. The fear becomes so overpowering, but it's nothing like motherly love. So this pastime is Baya Ras. It's an expression of that love expressed through fear. It's very, very intense. And in Vaishnava practice, to develop bhakti, you hear the drama of Krishna, where the object of love, Krishna, and the subject of love, the devotees, and the exchange between the two is expressed perfectly and intricately to create the mood of love to the maximum degree, which is transferred to the aspiring disciples, the aspiring devotees who hear that. So here, Sukadeva Goswami, who is explaining this to Marge Prickett, and remember the psychology of it. Marge Prickett only has 7 days left to live. He's not eating, he's not drinking. And he doesn't care about eating or drinking because the real need of the soul, which he's realizing, which is love, is being manifest intensely within these pastimes. So he's not eating, he's not sleeping, he's not drinking. He's hearing and he's very sensitive to the pastimes. And Sukadeva Goswami must already have been speaking for 3-4 days continuously, and now he's come to the crescendo, the essence, which is the pastimes of Krishna, which he has prepared him to hear in an appropriate way so the full impact, the full meaning can be relished without the filter of material consciousness. So it's heavy. Even if it's you know, you had a very loving friend, a very loving mate, a very loving child, and the child was in a near-death experience that was very, very horrible. Even if you're hearing about it later, you would go through the emotions hearing it. So Marge Prickett is really going through the emotions because he loves Krishna so much. And Sukadeva Goswami is hesitant to actually explain this pastime to him. But Marge Prickett is so eager to hear that he expresses to Sukadeva Goswami, "No, you should explain it. Just don't give me the summary. I want to hear the details." And don't worry about extreme grief. But Vaman Bhagavata, I know this is Bhagavan, who's unlimited, who who's unlimited. And so please tell me about Gopal, the cowherd boy, and the magnanimous pastimes of the cowherd boy. And you can't, it's so wonderful, you can never be satiated. The more you get, the more you want. And Krishna's Gopal, he tends the cows, but he also tends the ears by Amrita, by showering upon the ears the wonderful glories of Krishna. And then Sukadeva began to describe then the Bhairat, Shakyamana, that this lake was heated and boiled by the poison, and birds flying overhead were falling down and cooking, and the wind was carrying the droplets on the shore, and for 100 bow lengths or something like that, simply by coming in contact, all living entities, both Stara, Jagdama, both moving and non-moving, were killed the distance of 8 miles. So unpleasant. There's a fog over the river. And Sanatana Goswami says that by Jalastambha, the mystic power, the serpent who thrives in poison, one man's food is another man's poison. Is the Jalastambha the mystic power of creating solid items out of water? He's living in this city. Tam chandaveja vishavayan avekshitena ishtan nadin chakavasam yamanavatara krishna kadamba madaruha tatopitangam ashvota gadgarasana napatad vishade. Lord Krishna saw how the Kaliya serpent had polluted the Jamuna River with his terrible, powerful poison. So this is Chanda Vega. Vega means power. This is fearsome power. Of what? The Visha. Fearsome power of the poison. And Krishna saw the Jamuna with his terrible, powerful poison of the snake. But Krishna, since he descended from the spiritual world, avatar, he appeared to Parikshanaya Sadhunam, Vanishnayasya Duskritam, to kill the demons. Since Krishna descended from the spiritual world specifically to subdue envious demons, the Lord immediately climbed to the top of a very high Kadamba tree and prepared himself for battle. He tightened his belt, slapped his arms, and then jumped into the poisonous water. He ties his hair back. Sometimes he tucks it into his turban. He ties his belt. Slaps his arms, sometimes described like a wrestler. There's a martial arts down in South India where they deal with. They slap their arms. They have been a traditional thing. Sarvaradha Purushasara Nipatta Vega. Some show but go ragavisho, but he tambarasi. Payat betul. Bisa kesaya. Hidup senor mir. Tavan danu. Sekamanan tebalas sikin tak. I'll look up one word and just read it. So, in the Supreme Personality Godhead landed in the serpent's lake, the snakes there became extremely agitated and began breathing heavily. Further polluting it with volumes of poison. The force of the Lord's entrance into the lake caused it to overflow on all sides, and poisonous, fearsome waves flooded the surrounding lands up to a distance of 100 bow lengths. This is not at all amazing, however, for the Supreme possesses unlimited strength. So, so there was Chandravega, the fearsome power of the poison of the snake, and here is Nipatavega, by the force of the fall. Right. So the poison by the force of the fall of the Purusha Sar. Sar means the cream, the most exalted person. The person who is Ananta Balasya, who has unlimited strength. So Ananta is also the serpent. The Krishna is also Ananta. He has unlimited strength. And Kshaya, describing, you get a visual image that it's Kshaya, reddish, yellow, potion, portent. Kasya Rade, problem here with the lights again. Kasya Rade, Bhrato, Bujadanda, Gorna, Vadoshamanga, Bharavarna, Vikramasya, Ashrutyatat, Svatidana, Ivavam, Nariksha, Chakshu, Shavat, Krishna began sporting in Kaliya's lake like a lordly elephant. Vikramasya, he had a prowess like the king of elephants, and as Anantya Bala, his unlimited strength, he's whirling around in this poisonous lake and making the water resound in various ways. So it's actually very wonderful music that's created, perhaps the ultimate percussion is created by Krishna. The 100 Madangas, and making the water resound in various ways. When Kaliya heard these sounds, he understood that someone was trespassing in his lake. The serpent could not tolerate this and immediately came forward. So a snake is death. So Kali is referred to by the word Chakshu Sirva. Sirva means famous by hearing, by seeing. Because he hears with his eyes, a snake hears with his eyes. That's why when the snake charmer plays the flute, the snake can't actually hear the flute. But he follows the flute player, swings the head back and forth. So Kali is Chakshu Shiva, means that he becomes famous. He hears with his eyes, but he becomes famous for his eyes because his eyes accomplish the function of hearing, implying that today the eyes have achieved their perfection, because from the eyes he's actually seeing Krishna. So he's seeing the disturbance, or the whirling of the water, and he cannot tolerate. And that's demoniac consciousness. When you are intolerant of the world moving against your desires, and even inimical to those people who do it. Even if those people are acting within their own field of activities and jurisdiction of control. You can't tolerate people. And when you're in material consciousness, your vision actually sees everything as an object of your own desires, and therefore creates the illusion that they're yours and not God. That's what material consciousness does. It covers you from perception of reality and puts you into duality and fear. But a great Vaishnav, he sees everything for the service of Krishna and sees himself as a servant. The natural symptom of bhava is that one is very, very tolerant. If one doesn't see oneself as the controller, and therefore doesn't feel oneself as the enjoyer, It's just like India, it's so common. If you buy a piece of land in India, the first thing you have to do is build a boundary wall. And if you don't build a boundary wall, immediately other people will encroach on your land. Because land is usually controlled by mafia, or anyway, just greedy people. Immediately, there's a good chance that people will encroach on your land. Why? Because they want that land and therefore see that land as if it was theirs, even if it's yours. And we've dealt with people like that in monetarily transactions. You deal with a transaction, and because they owe you money, but because they want that money, they see that it's theirs. Very, very material consciousness. And we really have to check our own consciousness and to see to what extent this type of consciousness enters into ours. Because you can't chant the holy name if you don't have humility. And you can't have humility if you have a desire to control and enjoy. Now, this is what Kaliya saw. Tam prekshaniya sukamara vinavidatam shri vatsatita vatanam smitasindarasyam shri dantam apitabhayam kamalodarangrim sandasya marmasuvasha vijaya chachada. Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments, is very delicate. So put on your smana, your meditation hats, and try to see what Kaliya saw. Yellow silken garments, so that Krishna is very delicate. His attractive body shining like a glowing white cloud. His chest bearing the mark of Sri Vatsa. His face smiling beautifully, and his feet resembling the whirl of a lotus flower. The Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. Despite his wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya furiously bit him on the chest and then completely enwrapped him in his coils. So when you have that consciousness, you will see God as your enemy. Because he's the one that possesses what you have. And if that envy is there, that which is beautiful and powerful, and therefore a threat to one's dominance, it appeared just the opposite. Krishna appeared beautiful like a white cloud, but to Kaliya he appeared just the opposite. How much consciousness affects our perception of everything from the devotees to the holy name. But Krishna is like beautiful. Yellow silken garments, delicate, body shining like glowing white cloud, chest bearing the mark of Sri Vatsa, his face smiling beautiful, and his feet resembling the whirl of lotus. Now, we get to a very, very wonderful part, which will begin next Wednesday. Now, what is the bhava? What is the mood? What is the extent of love of those who love Krishna, when Krishna is now enwrapped in those coils and apparently near dead, and very, very little chance from their perspective of them ever seeing him alive again. Okay, we end here. Anybody like to ask any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Anybody? Who's that? Gail?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is it, Gail?
It's Hare Krishna.
What?
It's Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is still Gail.
Who is it? This is still Gail. Okay, yes. Still Gail. Yes, how may I serve you?
Oh, just by continuing to share your realizations.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. That's encouraging. Thank you so much for that.
Okay.
Very nice. Anybody else like to say hello? Any other voices out there?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Bajaranda Devdasi.
Jai Radhe. Jai Bajaranda. Thank you. You enjoy hearing Krishna Katha. I know that. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? One more person? Looks like people are trying to unmute. It's a star six. I'm going to unmute everybody now. 1 second. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, I'll continue my morning chanting. Very nice to hear from all of you. Vanchakalpa Sarubya Jyapati Sindhu Devi Jyapati Sindhu Pabamidhi.